Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the WPOI Radio, the morning show here on the Private Officer Beat. Glad that you're with us again for this Monday morning. Time to wake up, time to get back in business, time to kick off this week here on this Monday morning. 0700 hours if you're military or law enforcement or you're from some other countries that use military time. 7 a.m. for those of you civilians who, you know, you've never been around that military stuff, but happy Monday to you, because, you know, I used to be a late night person. I still am at heart, but when you have a business, you have to unfortunately be available when most people are wanting to talk with you, and that's during the day, 8 to 5, 9 to 5, somewhere in there. But I'm still a nighttime person. But I found that getting up early in the morning does have its benefits. Of course, when you're working overnight, you meet the morning. You know, as the sun rises, that was one of the benefits. You kind of meet the morning every day. But getting up early has many benefits as well. I love my quiet time during the day. And, well, it's not going to be quiet for the next hour, I can tell you that. We've got a lot of stuff to share with you today, including a lot of breaking news. We want to talk about some things that's happening here at POI and share with you a couple of ways that you can actually make some money. We're also going to bring you two and three of Are You an Agent? What is an Agent? From our legal side show, which was on last night, but somewhere along the way, they ran into some technical difficulty due to, we believe, some nearby storms. But anyways, we're going to bring the rest of that show to you today and answer your questions and really share a lot of different information with you. So hang on, grab your coffee, sit back, and relax for this next hour. Always great to be back here on the radio. Of course, by now, you probably have heard somewhere along the way that the former First Lady of the United States, Nancy Reagan, has passed away at the age of 94. From all accounts, she was a great partner to Ronnie, and they had so much in common, and she was a great support to the president while he was in office, as well as you know, in their earlier life. You may or may not know that Nancy was actually an actress. She starred in a number of movies herself, as did Ronald Reagan, and they worked on a number of projects in California. And in fact, you know, before becoming president, you know, you may know the whole history, you may not. I'm just running it down a little bit for you, but Ronald Reagan was the governor of California and an actor. They had quite the life as, you know, in front of the big screen and then in the politics. The only thing that I've really heard about Nancy is all good stuff. Besides being a huge supporter of her husband, many say that she brought class to D.C. She was someone who was always dressed well, very professional woman, and just a huge supporter of her husband and her family. She was the protector of the family, many have called her, and said that she was very protective of her children, her husband, and their lifestyle. Nancy Reagan, dead at the age of 94, and obviously she's somebody who will remain in history as somebody who really made a difference, and she did her share of work in the White House, although many times it was behind scenes. She wasn't as visible as some other presidential wives. We had someone ask last week whether or not we had a Spanish edition of the Private Officer radio show. Let me be honest with you. On some mornings, it's hard enough for me to speak English. It's hard enough for me to wake up and be able to get the words out so early in the morning, especially if I haven't had my coffee like today. It's just, it takes all effort to get English words out. So we do not have, currently anyways, a Spanish edition. But that's not to say that we're not interested in having a Spanish edition, and we're certainly going to look into it and take a serious look to see if we can provide that, because I know that there are a lot of Spanish listeners. There are a lot of Spanish members to the association, and now that we have partnered with Cal Sega in California, I'm sure that there will be even more opportunity to reach our Spanish-speaking security professionals, and we want to be able to do that as well. So I'm definitely going to take a look at that, and if you have any comments, ideas, suggestions, feel free to email us at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Don't include the word the, because that would be incorrect. It'll bounce back to you. So again, if you have any suggestions on how we can bring that Spanish edition to our audience, we'd like to do it, because we have listeners all around the world. And it's a fact that, you know, Spanish is the second most popular language, and we're definitely interested. If you have any ideas, suggestions, comments, please send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. A big shout out this morning going out to the Franks family, big supporters of Private Officer International and big supporters of the Blue Line law enforcement, and just really great people, and we want to recognize them for all that they do and their great support to us as well. And a big shout out this morning to D-Man. Donnie, you're a great guy. Just glad that you live far away. we would not sleep at night. If he lived local, we would be out every night tearing up the town. And I don't mean in a bad way. We're not, you know, drunkards or drinkers, but we just would have a whole lot of fun. But a big shout out to those folks and all of you listeners who regularly see, I'm having a problem speaking English this morning. Imagine if I had to translate Spanish and English. We really appreciate all of our listeners across the country and around the world. We're glad that you have decided to listen, to become a regular listener, and we're just we're thrilled that so many people are interested in what we're doing. Hey, here's an interesting fact. It's kind of, they say that sometimes TV mimics Real Life or Real Life Mimics TV. We talked about Blue Bloods a few weeks ago about how that's one of my favorite shows. And they had a episode just 2 or 3 weeks ago about broken window theory. And a famous actress played a political person on the city board, city committee, and was against the broken window policy. And tried to get that policy kicked out of, you know, being in New York City. And if you're not real familiar with the broken window theory or policy, it just really states that if you let the little things slip, if you don't enforce the little laws, whether that be leaving your trash out in front of your house or broken down cars and you know, in your driveway or driving around without a tag on your car or whatever it might be, a small infraction. If you leave those go and you don't pay attention, then it won't be long before that crack in the window gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we have found that to be true. Unfortunately, right after the show, it was almost like if the district attorney saw the show and said, wait a minute, okay, that gives me an idea. But anyways, the district attorney, I believe it's in the Manhattan DA's office, decided no more arrests for the broken window type crimes. No more arrests. You can still give a ticket, you know, but we're not going to haul them in. We're not going to book them. We're not going to put them through the whole criminal process, but it'll be all right to write a ticket. I can understand that. I definitely understand not wanting to pack the jail with petty crimes, but you know, oftentimes these petty crimes, these minor motor vehicle infractions lead to serious felony arrests, even the capture of murderers, bank robbers, and people that have been on the run for many years. So, you know, there's definitely a benefit. There's an upside to enforcing the little, you know, laws, the little violations and infractions, as well as big things like drugs and rape and murder and all that good stuff. We were sitting around the office last weekend. We were talking about this very important topic, and I thought maybe you could help me out this morning. It was quite the conversation. But during the leap year, I mean, if you have somebody who's born on the 29th of February, you can see how important this is now, right? If you have somebody who's born on the 29th of February, which only comes every 4 years, when does that person celebrate their birthday during the other years? Is it only every 4 years? That would be great. Hey, I'm 1, and then I'm 5, and then I'm 9, you know, and so on and so forth. That would be great. That would definitely put some longevity in the person's life. I personally don't know of anyone that has been born on the 29th that I know of anyways. I think I had a dog once that was born on the 29th of February, but you know, I don't know anybody, so I haven't been able to ask them personally. But do you celebrate your birthday the rest of the time on the 28th of February or on the March, you know, March 1, or does it matter? I don't know. It's really something to ask people who have been born on the 29th. It is an interesting and even perplexing question. Definitely one that we're going to have to solve. I want to know what people do. Coming up, you probably already know. In fact, some cities have already celebrated yesterday, St. Patty's Day. St. Patrick's Day falls on March the 17th. Same day, same date every year. Not always the same day, but this year it's the Thursday, next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, the 17th, already cities have had St. Patrick's Day parades. And you may not know this, but besides being a big festival, a big party, big parades, it's also a big drinking day, a big alcohol day. And it seems like Americans and probably people in other countries are using just about anything to make it a drinking party day. But St. Patrick is definitely one that leads to many parties, many fights and incidents. But it's coming up next Thursday. But, you know, some cities may celebrate, may have some parades between now and then because they've already kicked it off. It's almost kind of like Mardi Gras, you know, 10 days, Fat Tuesday. Hey, we're going to have Fat Thursday next week. That's when all the fat people come out and we celebrate. I don't know, but it's. I thought it was interesting that some of the cities have already started with their parades. Very interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about the news and some of the other things that happened over the weekend. Coming up, and in the bottom half hour, we're going to talk about, are you an agent? What is an agent? Why is that important to know? And I think it's important to know, and we'll be right back.
He's a global security expert, accomplished author, and entrepreneurial CEO, and now he's sharing his powerful insights, expertise, and realistic solutions to the issues that keep us up at night.
America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to PovertyUSA.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message.
Good Monday morning, everyone, on the 7th of March, 2016, about 18 minutes after the hour here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're just wide awake. Yeah, we're Monday, yo. Aren't you happy? Don't you feel it? Come on. Lots of news we want to tell you about. Again, this year, you know, and this has happened quite frequently. Across the country, at the release of the latest Air Jordans, there were fights, stabbings, and shootings in malls, shopping centers from coast to coast. Now, we only have a preliminary count of how many people have been injured. Right now, we know 4 people were shot, 2 were stabbed, 14 others injured during the sales events across the country. At least a half a dozen malls had to be closed down due to the overactive, unruly, I don't want to call it riots, but they were close to riots in some cases, hundreds of people lining up. And here is something that really, I think, leads to this. Many of the stores that were selling these shoes only had 10 or 15 or 20 pairs in the store. They've got 150 people lined up at 6 a.m. before the store opens, you know, and by the time the store opens at 9, you've got 300 people out there, but you only have 10 or 15 pair to sell. Well, obviously, there's going to be some irate people. Obviously, there's going to be some unhappy people, and most of the people who buy these shoes are younger, the younger generation, and they don't know how to control their temper many times. They don't know how to control their emotions. So, yeah, it causes near riots. It causes disturbances. And in a number of situations, there were shootings. I know that in one situation, they robbed the person of his or attempted to rob him of his Air Jordans as soon as he exited mall parking lot. Another teen was shot in Detroit for his shoes. And we have been around now long enough in the news business, long enough where we were able to look back in our own archives of news stories yesterday to track, you know, how many people have been injured in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years since the release of some of these Air Jordan shoes. And I'm not blaming Nike. I'm not blaming, you know, Jordan. Obviously, they're all about business, all about making money. But somewhere along the way, they have to realize that there's going to be some real safety issues. There's going to be some real concerns for near riots, people being injured. And none of these retailers, as far as we could see, prepared for it this time or any time in the past. They just allowed the crowd to build and build and put it on the shoulders of mall security. You got two or three, at best, unarmed, unprepared, undertrained security officers. How can they possibly handle a crowd of 150, 300, 500 people who are just acting out and becoming disorderly and creating a near riot? They can't. So on one hand, I have to blame the store and the mall for being underprepared. They should have known by the propensity of past sales and incidents across the country, they definitely should have known that there was a good likelihood that the response of those who gathered would be this way. But they didn't prepare for it. And what we saw was exactly what's happened over and over again when they released these shoes. In Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, a pastor who recently delivered prayer for Ted Cruz event was shot and critically wounded in the church parking lot yesterday, just a day after he delivered the invocation at a campaign rally for Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz. Tim Remington, 55, the senior pastor of the non-denominational Altar Church, is serious condition, critical condition, in fact. And they do have a suspect. They know who they're looking for. They're not releasing a lot of information as to what led to the shooting, but they do know currently who they are looking for. In Georgia, Coweta County, Georgia, just not too far from Atlanta, Jeffrey Walker, 24, is accused of groping a 64-year-old woman inside a Newman, Georgia Walmart The woman told security, who then contacted police. They were able to detain the suspect, but he did get away. And eventually, after seeing himself on Facebook and other social media, he turned himself in. It takes all kinds in this world, and I just don't see how anybody could grope anyone or sexually assault anyone, but definitely not an elderly woman. Very interesting story out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fayetteville is the home of a huge military base. But here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, police say that they've arrested the head of a neighborhood crime watch program for maintaining a dwelling for keeping and selling drugs. And she also had 3 pounds of marijuana. Gloria Wilkerson Gutierrez, age 63, was the president, the manager, the overseer of the community watch for her community. Now, I have to wonder whether or not she joined that program, whether or not she took the lead so that she could have insight as to the police activity in her area, or whether or not she was working with even others to infiltrate law enforcement. There's no telling. I don't know if it's something she decided to do after joining the program or before, but certainly that's concerning, because when citizens join neighborhood watch groups or they become volunteers at the police department, they do have some limited access to intel and police operations. And really, this could be happening elsewhere, and we just don't know it. In Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, a security officer was sprayed with a fire extinguisher after a person who had been taken to the critical care unit at the hospital tried to escape. Evidently, he was in police custody, and he tried to escape by launching a fire extinguisher in the face of a security officer, and it didn't work out too well. In Carson City, Nevada, a security officer working at a casino was alert. He recognized that a vehicle looked like it had been stolen, and that the suspect was acting suspicious. David Colin Haswander was arrested because the casino security was alert and was on to him, and good job for him. In the Bronx, New York, we had a security officer shot several times. He's in serious condition but expected to live. It occurred at a nightclub called Club Miami. This is all happening over the weekend. A lot of breaking news happens on the weekend. Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here's another item that happened Thursday night in Louisville, Kentucky. Two security officers were seriously injured and a nurse at the University Hospital. A mentally ill person who was there for treatment became aggressive, attacked two security officers, broke one of their arms, one of their legs or ankles, and also knocked one unconscious. The suspect was taken into custody, and he has been charged with several counts of felonies. You know, in hospitals that treat anybody for any illness these days, there's definitely propensity for violence, for incidents involving assault against security. I often get asked whether or not security should be armed. Should they be equipped with tasers? My answer is always, heck yes. You know, I understand it's a medical facility, but these days things happen everywhere, whether it's a church, a school, a hospital. Just because you're in that environment doesn't mean people aren't going to assault you or injure you or even kill you. It happens. Just last week in Northern Virginia, a man who had been shot came to the hospital, and because at night they locked their ER door, he began shooting through the glass door to gain access. Security was able to subdue him and take the gun from him, and he was arrested and treated at the hospital for his injury. The FBI has announced that several suspicious explosive devices have been found in and around La Cruz, New Mexico, as well as several others have been detonated around churches in the area. They are looking for a suspect. Again, these things are happening more and more frequently. It's really just a matter of time when it's going to come knocking at your business, your school, your church, your house. If you think that it's not, I have bad news for you. It is. It's not if, it's when. So remember, not if, it's when. It will happen. We have a lot of breaking news. Be sure to follow us. Be sure to sign up for our breaking news. I think that you'll find that we are very accurate and rapid. We're able, in fact, in the last 2 weeks, this news story about the shopping mall incidents this weekend, we actually scooped that because of some partnership with mall security around the country here. We were able to get some information and get that out right away as an exclusive. Same thing with a security official who was arrested at the Denver International Airport about a week and a half ago because of our relationship. We were able to get exclusive information before the news and get that out as well. We have actually, in the last 5 years, broken a number of big news stories relating to security and law enforcement because of our partners and members, and because we have people that are really on top of what's happening, you know, not only across the country, but around the world. And it takes a team, and we have a great team.
Every 40 seconds, someone around the world takes their own life. Every 13 minutes, someone in the U.S. commits suicide. While you were getting ready for work this morning, in the first hour of your day, as many as 5 people in the U.S. have killed themselves. By lunchtime, about 20 people in the U.S. have taken their own life. At the end of an 8-hour workday, about 40 people in the U.S. killed themselves. In a 24-hour period, as many as 111 people in the U.S. committed suicide.
All right, welcome back to this edition, the Monday edition of the Private Officer Beat. 7:32, 32 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. We want to talk for just a few seconds here about how you can make money with Private Officer. We often get that question asked to us. Be sure to email us at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you have any questions, 24 hours a day, someone will be glad to answer your email. There are 3 basic ways to make money. We do offer commissions when you refer someone to us, whether it be a church in need of on-site security training for their team, or you refer someone to us who wants training at their business. We will offer you a commission, referral commission. We also have a strategic partnership program set up. That's something that we've had for a number of years. If you decide to put together a training at your facility, your office, whether it be church security or TASER or anything at all, we will share the profits with you. And if you need more information on that, send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. POI members also get points that they can use for training and products when they refer someone or when they are involved in all the things that's happening here at POI. And, of course, you can also become a Armor College or Armor Health and Safety Institute campus. And there is a difference. Go to our website at armorcollege.com or armorcollege.org. To find out how you can campus today. On Thursday, we're going to be talking about body cameras and whether or not they're important to have in the security community, why this is or is not a good idea, and what the law says about having body cameras in private businesses. We have a lot more to talk about, but right now we do want to get over to our training segment, because last night on the legal side, there were some episodes or some incidents, episodes of storms, I guess, in the area is what we've been told. I'm not sure, but we want to pick up where we left off. So are you an agent, and what is an agent?
Welcome back to this edition of On the Legal Side. And today we are talking about being an agent of a security company or a business, a client, the duties and scope of authority of an agent, the roles of an agent. Remember, the agent carries out only the duties and responsibilities in the same manner as the employer or contractor would. They don't make up the rules. They're not really decision makers. They don't really negotiate prices, salaries, benefits. They are there to act in the best interest of their employer, contractor, whoever it might be that appointed or hired the agent in the first place. So security officers, private investigators, bouncers, really all forms of public safety are agents. They're agents of the property, agents of their employer, which means that when you are working on site, you have the authority within the guidelines. Now, don't go all crazy. Don't go, you know, all wild about your authority. You have limited scope of authority under the direction of the owner. You can act as if you were the owner on his behalf, but you're limited to directives, to policies, to duties, to assignment. And I'll give you an example that we gave recently in one of our trainings. If you're a loss prevention agent and you're working at a shopping mall or a big box store, and they tell you that you can apprehend a shoplifter any place on the property, but don't leave the property, don't chase people across the road, and you do chase people across the highway or off the property, then you're acting outside of the scope of authority. And if you were to be clobbered by a passing vehicle, if you were to be injured, if you were to fall and break your head, well, even though you were an agent for the property, an agent for the employer, at this point, because you're operating outside of the scope that you were originally given, the authority that you were originally directed to, you might not be covered by workers' compensation. You might not be covered by insurance, and you could even be fired. Because even though you were acting in the beginning as the agent of the property, you made up your own rules. You knew that you shouldn't have left the property. You shouldn't have chased that person across the road, but you did. So remember, as an agent, you have to specifically stay within the boundaries, within the guidelines given to you by your client, your employer. Agents are directed. They don't direct. Someone once told me that agents were like puppets. You know, the employer pulls the strings, and the agents jump and do the commands that they're directed to do. And that's kind of how it is. Agents make decisions within the limits of their duty. Again, going back to the retailer, if the loss prevention agent caught a shoplifter and it was policy to call the police for every shoplifter, and the agent decides, well, this guy looks like a nice guy, he sounds like a nice guy, I'm sure it was just a mistake, and he's all regretful, and I'm just going to let him go. Well, the agent would be making a decision outside of their scope of authority. It wouldn't be acting in the best interest of the employer. It wouldn't be acting like the employer would act, because he would call the police for every shoplifter. That's what he wants done. So as an agent, you have to be very careful not to make up the rules. Very careful to carry out every single directive as if you were the owner, the employer, the main principal. You can't just go hog wild and do your own thing. You know, athletes, they have agents. Whether you are a professional athlete or you are an athlete in a local baseball organization, many times they have agents, and agents have to act in good faith. They can't just come up with some type of agreement or some type of money amount that is, with, you know, not in good faith. They can't just do anything outside of the contract. They have to abide by what the athlete has told them. Agents, remember, do not write policy. They do not make the rules or the laws. They seldom make independent decisions or act in their own best interest. It's all about acting in the best interest of who? Of the client, of the person who hired you, specifically doing what they have told you to do. As a security officer, if you are employed with a contract agency, then you are an agent of both the proprietary, both the contract security company as well as the client that the security company is contracted with. So you have kind of a catch-22 situation. The client might want you to do XYZ, but your real employer, who is the contract agency, wants you to do E, F, and G. You have a very thin line that you have to walk, because the contract agency ultimately is your employer. And I know, I've been in this situation where you're on site, the client wants you to do this, that, and the other thing, but it's not within the scope of your authority, not within the scope of your duties. And although you're trying to act like the agent, you're trying to be a good employee, you're an employee of the contract agency, not of the client. So you have to get that authority. You have to call your employer, the contract agency, and say, hey, the client wants me to do blah, 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 but you told me not to, or you told me something different. What do you suggest? What do you want me to do? Agents of the property, no more and no less than the agreement. And if you're not sure what the agreement is, you have to get it in writing. Part of your agreement, part of your specific, part of your guideline, part of the parameters set up, if you're a contract security officer, comes from SOPs, Standard Operating Procedure. What does your policy say? What does the rules say? I often use this example in my training. A number of years ago, a security officer at a hotel allowed some people to swim in the swimming pool after hours. It was a very hot, sticky night in the south, and the security officer, instead of locking up the pool, allowed some people to use it. A young boy drowned, and the hotel and the security officer, you know, were culpable. They were liable for that death. The security officer was acting as an agent, but at the point where he failed to lock the pool, he made up his own rules. He extended the rules. He didn't act within the best interest of his employer or the client. And ultimately, the hotel and the security company was found liable. You have to do specifically what you have been told to do, or what is within the realm of your agreement, within the scope of your authority. Agents can do anything within the law that their client so desires. Whether you're a talent agent or a realtor, a real estate management agent, whatever type of agent you might be, you can do whatever the client wants as long as it's within the law. Once you break the law, well, that's a whole different story, and I don't think the agreement or contract would be valid at the point that you actually are committing illegal acts. But agents of the property, security officers are definitely agents of the property, and again, they don't make up the rules and regulations. They enforce them and act within the guidelines of their employer. It can be very tricky, and there's a lot of liability issues involved in being an agent. As long as you have a solid agreement, contract, some kind of SOPs, if you're in the security business, then you're pretty much going to be covered. It's when we don't have those SOPs, when we don't have written contracts, that it gets very muddy and murky, because you can do one thing, your employer or client can say, well, that wasn't within the scope of his authority. He was not acting as an agent for me at that time. So it's very important to get things in writing. If you're acting independently, then get a contract. If you're acting as a contract security officer and you're employed by a company or a proprietary business, you want to make sure there's some SOPs, some standard protocols in writing so that you can use those as your guidelines.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
All right, welcome back to this edition of Monday Morning Show here on a Monday morning. Can you imagine that? Monday morning, and it's a Monday Morning Show. I guess we're lined up here. 7:46, 46 minutes after the hour this Monday morning. Hopefully you understand a little bit more about being an agent. If you didn't catch part one, you can go back. We have all of our radio shows stored right here for on-demand access. Go back and listen to part one. But hopefully you understand a little bit more about being an agent. Agents do not make policy. They do not make the rules. They enforce the rules. They have a lot of liability. And it's important, really, today, and especially in this day and age, as we live in a very litigious society, that you understand what you can and can't do and what your consequences are going to be if you go outside of the realm of your scope of authority. So I hope that that helped you a little bit. And we have this coming Thursday, coming up this Thursday, we have a two-week series that we're going to do about body cameras. We're going to talk about the benefits, the uses for private security, and whether or not they're even necessary. We have a brand new service. I'm really kind of surprised that not so many people are taking advantage of them, of the new service. We've had a few people, but right now you can buy, sell, trade, or even give away your personal property, vehicles, weapons, anything that you have for sale or anything that you want to buy. We will list your advertisement free of charge if you're a POI member. Twice a month, on the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we'll advertise it in our newsletter. If you're a non-member, then just $25 a month and you'll be able to advertise. We have a wide distribution. Our newsletters are seen all around the world, literally. And if you want to get rid of something, or you want to buy something, or you just want to give it away, this is a great opportunity for you to do it, and it's not going to cost you any money. Just send us a description of the merchandise that you're trying to sell, buy, or trade, and your email address, and we'll list it in our newsletter. We're not going to collect any money. We're not going to be party to the sale. We're not going to be, you know, middlemen at all. We're going to advertise the product or the service or whatever it is that you want to get rid of or buy, but we're not going to be in the middle. We're not going to collect any money, and we're not going to make any money. This is a free service, especially I think it's great this time of year because a lot of people in spring, they, you know, spring cleaning, they want to get rid of stuff. So if you're already using some other internet websites, then I think that this would be a good option for you as well. At least try it and see if it works for you. And if it does, great. And if not, oh well. We also have coming up, we're going to be talking in the next few weeks about violence in school. And we're not talking just about active shooters. They do occur, but they're not the most frequent violence that occurs in schools. We're going to talk about all levels, elementary, high school, and college, post-secondary schools, the violence that's occurring across our campuses in cities and towns, big, small, and everywhere in between. I think that it's, to some point, I believe it's getting a little out of hand, and I don't think that school boards are recognizing the position that their teachers and school staffs are really left in. So those are some upcoming shows. We're going to be talking about body cameras and school violence. Remember that anytime that we're off the air and you want to contact us, just contact us at privateofficer.com. See, I said it right that time. helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and let us know what we can do for you, member or non-member. We also frequently get asked whether or not non-members can participate in our activities. And for the most part, yes, you can. So if you're interested in participating in some of the training, or you're interested in participating in some activity that we're doing, following us on the web, whatever it might be, you can. We do encourage you, of course, to become a member of Private Officer International. We are an association-based organization. Without your financial support, we could not exist. And we're always looking for good members, new members that are interested in the profession, whether it be proprietary or contract security, public safety, law enforcement. We offer our memberships to every level of private and public service. So we really want you to become active. Make sure that you spread the word as well and let people know that we're out there. Even though we've been around for 12 years, it's surprising to me a little bit, at least, that there are so many people that have not heard of Private Officer International. I think that's going to wrap it up for this edition. I'm looking real quick here to see if there's any breaking news that we need to tell you about that's coming over the wires right now. And of course there is. There's always breaking news. It's nonstop, folks. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas. It doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m. on a Sunday or it's 8 p.m. Friday. There's always, always something happening. Remember, if you are interested in opening one of our armor schools, if you already have a security training academy, you're already involved in the training business, this would be a great way to expand your curriculum, expand your student base, and oftentimes we find that we're actually selling to the same student. If you have somebody in class who's taking a security officer regulatory course, he may need some additional training or want to take additional courses online or in class. So be sure to contact us at helpdesk@armorcollege.org, helpdesk@armorcollege.org, or call us at area code 804-290-4388. That is going to wrap it up, as they say, for this edition. We've got another one in the books. Yeah. This Monday, the 7th, make it a good one. Make it a good week. And whatever you're doing, make sure that you take a little time out for yourself and your family. And be safe. Be blessed. Remember, we'll be back on the radio every Wednesday afternoon for the LP Zone Loss Prevention. Every Monday and Thursday at 7 a.m. Eastern Time right here on the Private Officer Beat. And every other Sunday at 4 p.m. for On the Legal Side. Until then, stay safe, God bless, and we'll see you right back here on the radio.